The AccuWeather forecast, partly cloudy, high today around 74. No classes today at Wilmot Union High School in Kenosha County. No water service this morning. An automated phone call informing parents about it. And the bus company was informed not to come pick up students. Caledonia's Village Board is meeting tonight. That agenda includes a resolution authorizing the police department to solicit and to accept money and in-kind donations in support of a canine program. There's also a resolution authorizing a contract with the City of Racine for bus service in the village and a Class B combo liquor license for Joey's West on Kraut Road, formerly Everett's Pub and Grill. U.S. Environmental Protection Agency currently doing a five-year review of the Hunt's Disposal Landfill Superfund site. That's at Foley and County Line Roads in the village of Caledonia. That site was cleaned up years ago, but federal law requires regular reviews of each location, this being the second five-year review period, which should conclude by the end of May. The Hunt's landfill had contaminated soil and groundwater. Citizen comments can go into Linda Kern. She's the remedial project manager for EPA's Midwest office. Her phone number, 312-886-7341, or send an email to Kern, K-E-R-N, .linda, at epa.gov. Well, the economy may be improving, but a lot of folks in Wisconsin are still struggling. A new study showing an uptick in poverty. That's according to Malia Jones with the Department of Community and Environmental Sociology at UW-Madison's College of Agricultural and Life Sciences.
We found that poverty between 2005 and 2009, compared to the more recent 5 years, it went up pretty substantially. So it's at its highest rate right now since around 1984.
She says it's a little puzzling given overall that the economy has been trending up.
I think what we're seeing is that people who are at the highest risk, the lowest wage earners in our economy, are not really benefiting from the increasing economy. And so, in essence, we're seeing increasing inequality.
She notes that Wisconsinites living in poverty do have real challenges and that the poverty situation also has no boundaries. In the most recent period of review, Jones said about 750,000 Wisconsin residents were living in poverty, compared to 600,000 before, close to 240,000 children affected, or about 1 in 5. And as tonight's federal income tax filing deadline approaches, some families may still have trouble figuring out service employee taxes, known as nanny taxes. Household tax expert Carrie Swope says a lot of families don't know their obligations when it comes to taxes for caregivers and other household workers.
Many families think that they can just wait and take care of the taxes at the end of the year when they file their federal income tax return. And in most cases, a family needs to be paying and remitting those taxes in on a quarterly basis throughout the year.
You can try to check in with a tax professional today. They're going to be a little busy about any of the nanny taxes that you might owe. A Caledonia firefighter needed some medical attention after being slightly hurt with the partial collapse of a ceiling inside of a burning home at 5809 Erie Street. The homeowner unsuccessfully tried to put out the flames himself with an extinguisher and then a garden hose, according to reports, which indicate the fire started in the attic from use of the fireplace. Damage was estimated at $108,000. An investigation in Kenosha referenced the Sunday death of a woman from a gunshot wound, now suggesting a suicide. Police say it was a bullet wound to the head, and the victim was found near 33rd Avenue and 89th Street. A 20-year-old Milwaukee woman, Mary Sullivan, died at Winona State University in Minnesota over the weekend in a dorm room. The cause of her death, though, is still under investigation. Sullivan enrolled at Winona State in the fall of 2014. She was majoring in exercise and rehabilitative sciences, cardiopulmonary rehabilitation, that according to a school news release. The 2016 UW Parkside Student Showcase will take center stage from 12:45 to 4:30 p.m. on Wednesday of this week in the Student Center's University Ballroom and Oak Room. The showcase is going to feature research and creative activity all across an array of academic disciplines. It'll be part of a statewide UW System Symposium on Friday, April 22nd at UW Stevens Point. More than 100 undergraduate and graduate students, plus 30 Parkside faculty members, are involved with research posters and oral presentations, musical performances, and art displays. The student showcase is open to the public. Free parking is available in Lot A east of the Student Center at UW Parkside. And Amazon introducing a new way in which to subscribe. Instead of offering its Prime service annually, the company will start to offer it monthly. Rather than paying $99 a year for Prime, customers can spend $8.99 a month for just video or $10.99 a month for the entire service. Racine Fire Department paramedics took a man to Wheaton Franciscan All Saints Medical Center's emergency room just before 9 this morning. He'd reportedly fallen from the roof of a two-story building in the 500 block of North Memorial Drive. Initial reports indicate the victim suffered at least a possible head injury. No other information, though, is available. Recent news that a set of human skeletal remains were discovered off the interstate in Kenosha County has been greeted with more than just a passing interest by hundreds of families in the region who've been holding out hope for missing loved ones.
The thought in your head is, oh my gosh, that could be us. And what I always do is I right away send up a prayer for whoever's going to get the answer of remains being their person. We all want a happy ending, but we all know that's not always a reality.
That is Brown County resident Marsha Lovitz, whose mother disappeared under suspicious circumstances 3 years ago and says to have an ending is better than no resolution at all. DNA from the bones in the Kenosha case will eventually be matched up against a nationwide DNA database of missing persons, while Lovitz and others continue to push for a new federal law that would centralize missing persons data. The Racine Common Council's current session will meet for the final time tonight, with the next version gathering Tuesday evening, including a couple of new faces in Districts 4 and 14. The agenda for tonight includes the Finance Committee supporting the purchase of 84 protective vests for the police department from Advantage Police Supply. Total cost just under $50,000. There's acceptance of a $45,000 DOT safety belt grant that requires a 25% soft match or just over $11,000. A forestry maintenance contract for the golf courses, the cemeteries, and Worcester Museum to Ansplund, the lowest responsive responsible bidder according to documentation. A negotiated amendment to the collective bargaining agreement between the city and the firefighters, Local 321, that will end up costing the city $214,000 next year. There's also a resolution designating proposed boundaries and project plans for tax incremental district number 19 in the Uptown District, and an agreement with Racine Wastewater Utility to pay for a new sanitary sewer interceptor for the reconstruction of Kinsey Avenue between Green Bay Road and Ohio Street. Buildings targeted for eventual demolition for the Wilcom Brothers development project at Green Bay Road and Spring Street in Mount Pleasant going to be used for a joint training effort by the South Shore, Caledonia, and Racine Fire Departments. Division Chief Mark Paulzine telling the city's Public Safety and Licensing Committee it's an opportunity to use buildings for real-time training you don't get very often.
The development is bought everything except the veterinary clinic.
Okay.
They own all the other properties to the south to Sunnyside Avenue. So that whole square block, we just got the report back for asbestos abatement, so that kind of determines what we can or can't do in any of those properties.
A hold harmless agreement coming with that recommendation to the Common Council to allow the city fire crews to participate. Last week's attention to tornado and severe weather awareness, one big component of a new smartphone app that students at UW Parkside designed in collaboration with area emergency government managers. It's called Ready Badger. The main feature, weather alerts for all of the state's counties. This according to computer science professor Derek Riley, who supervises what's known as the App Store.
There's a county picker. When you first open the app, you can select the regions you want to select, and then you can pick the specific counties. You can pick as many as you want.
The app also gives users the ability to send damage reports to emergency management officials, which can help to produce messages of specific interest to their jurisdictions. The free app is available through both the App Store and Play Store. Kenosha City Council is meeting this evening. Among the agenda items, a resolution authorizing the city attorney to pursue all claims against McGill Construction Company. This in relation to the problems with the rubberized surface at the Dream Playground. Also, a lease agreement between the city and Gorman & Company for the former Heritage House. Gorman's still planning to redevelop it into a boutique motel. A recommendation that Shelley Billingsley be appointed the city's Director of Public Works. She's been the acting director since March of last year. She served as deputy director for 2 years. A recommendation to award a contract for concrete crushing and removal at the Chrysler Engine Plant site to A.W. Oaks & Sons. Their total bid, $100,000, more than $2 million less than the only other bidder. Two adults and one child displaced from their apartment early this morning by a fire at 6001 Joanne Drive in Mount Pleasant. It also led to the rest of the multi-unit building's occupants evacuating. South Shore fire crews arriving just after 1 o'clock found smoke from the second-floor balcony. A news release indicates it likely started with a cooking fire Sunday evening. The flames burned through an exterior wall and then extended up into the attic. The apartment itself had some minor smoke damage. There was moderate fire damage in the attic, $10,000 estimated. One occupant of that apartment did suffer a minor hand injury. On-scene medical care was given by paramedics. The other occupants, they were allowed back in their apartments. The one unit, though, was deemed uninhabitable. Kenosha's police chief getting ready to hand in his badge for good. John Morrissey, who's been at the helm for the past 8 years, not going anywhere to retire, not with family still on the job.
This is really my home now, and it's certainly my kids' home. Don't have any intent of losing that. You're probably aware my son now is on the department. My son-in-law is on the department. So I have a very vested interest not only in the city but in this department.
Morrissey started more than 24 years ago as a patrol officer. He turns the reins over to Deputy Chief Dan Miskinis, leaving at the same time as retiring Mayor Keith Bosman. You've likely heard about or seen the drastic measures taken to deal with the emerald ash borer in southeast Wisconsin. But what about if you have those kinds of trees on your property? UW-Madison entomologist Chris Williamson says there are a variety of treatments that are available.
A good starting point would be to look for a licensed and certified pesticide applicator. That's one starting point. And then to take that maybe even another step further, and I'm not endorsing any one person, but there are also certified arborists out there that will be even to take it a level further.
He says damage by the EAB can kill a tree in 1 to 3 years. That's why Kenosha County was so aggressive in removing ash trees from Petrifying Springs Park and two other county facilities. Our AccuWeather forecast coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.